This is All India Radio. In the weekly program Current Affairs, we now bring you a discussion on women empowerment. The participants are Sangeeta Saxena, social scientist, Sunita Ojha, women activist, and Aditi Tandon, journalist, who initiates and moderates the discussion.
International Women's Day is an occasion for every country to look inward, reflect, and introspect on whether it has treated its women equally or on a par with its male population. Almost every constitution, like the Indian constitution, guarantees the right to equality to both the genders. But we know that there are several challenges that women face in everyday life, in their work spheres, in their matrimonial houses, and also as mothers. You know, they have this double responsibility as citizens because they are not only mothers, they are also working women, and they discharge a whole range of responsibilities. Of course, India has come a long way from the past when stereotypes against women would always keep them down and keep them from making progress in life. Today we are at a stage where we are seeing a lot of pro-women legislations in the country, where we are seeing a lot of judicial interventions that are empowering and strengthening the feminist narrative. Only last year we had the Supreme Court declare adultery as, you know, decriminalized. That was a big momentum again. Then in the legislative sphere we have the triple talaq debate going on after the Supreme Court declared it illegal. The practice of instant triple talaq among the Muslim community. You also have, as policy interventions, the defense forces, the armed forces of the country finally embracing women in more and more courts. Sunita, how do you view the legislative interventions of the government? Because, see, the policy shift makes a great deal of difference in empowering women.
In my opinion, if you look at the way the law has evolved in last two decades, it's been phenomenal. You have progressive legislations covering the domestic sphere, whether it's a domestic violence, which is very comprehensive. It provides protection, it provides redressal, it provides preemptive measures to protect a woman in the household without really breaking the family as a structure. For the workplace, we have had Sexual Harassment at Workplace Act, which puts the responsibility of providing a safe work environment on the employer, and there has been a range of liabilities or duties which has been imposed upon every employer to ensure that the women who are working, they're working within their organizations, they are safe. Now, even in the public spaces, if you see the manner in which CPC, Criminal Procedure Code, and IPC was amended to expand the scope of definition of both sexual assault, rape, and also include a range of other offenses within its ambit. So therefore, if you look at the legislative development combined with what various judgments which have been delivered by the Supreme Court, the ideal of the Constitution to provide equal treatment to all and also equality to all women, which of course is a very, very revolutionary idea in itself, looking at the society as such. So I would say it's been a great development and it's been
present. Sangeeta is already smiling at us. So let me bring her in because she is a journalist in a very interesting sector. She writes on defense. And Sangeeta, the BJP government has done a lot of late to, you know, open up the defense forces for women. We've just had a very wonderful news coming in from the army that they have actually opened up the army for permanent commission to women in 10 branches, which was a very narrow sphere for women earlier. How do you see this?
It's a gradual but a wonderful change which is happening. And if I, you know, think back of my career of so many years, when women started working in the army, they started as doctors and nurses, which is okay. It was always taken for granted that you would have a woman doctor, you would have a nurse. But then, you know, later on you got women in the ordnance and in the supply corps and the education branch. And it's my experience that 90% of the job profile they would get initially would be very, very much womanish, if I can say that. And then over the years, you know, you saw the change. You realize that from the first batches of the women, you realize that little by little, you know, you're getting women into more technical fields. Suddenly, you know, after all the years, I mean, when you are covering especially the Corps of Engineers, you find, you know, you have women engineers who are becoming sappers. Now, that is a wonderful thing to have happened. So suddenly you realize that regiments which were absolutely male bastions, you know, have become, you find women there. And so it is there. They are in the regiments, even if the regiment is in the border area. So it doesn't make a difference anymore that if you are a woman, you get only the mess to look after and you get flower arrangements to be done, ensure that if there's a visit, it goes on well. Now you have women doing actual work. For the last 3 to 4 years, it's been a major empowerment because then you've got pilots in the Air Force, and the fighter pilots, we've got fighter pilots in the Air Force, some already there and a few getting trained. Then you have, you know, women in the Army going into other corps, like you just said. Now we are just waiting, you know, that eventually Army will also take women in the infantry. Many of the armies of the world have them, and we hope we follow suit. So I think, you know, empowerment for a woman in a total male bastion is great.
Absolutely fascinating account of the past and the present, Sangeeta. So coming back to you, Sunita, I just want to understand from you. See, we've just discussed the legislative interventions, which are, in fact, every government does its bit to improve the scenarios for women. Of course, past governments have done their bit. This government has gone a bit further. You know, they're making a very strong push for some very progressive laws, one of which we just mentioned, the instant triple talaq. Although that debate has just started, and Muslim women themselves have been engaged in abolishing this obsolete practice where women could be divorced through SMS, WhatsApp, through speed posts. I mean, it was a situation that was quite unwelcome. So I want to understand from you, you are a lawyer yourself. Sangeeta just delineated the scenario in the army and the armed forces. But don't we as women also make so much effort and do struggle so much for parity of pay, parity of equal opportunity to grow across our professions? I'm a journalist and I do struggle every day. What is your own experience as a female lawyer?
I'm a lawyer and I'm also a litigating lawyer, which is of course considered as a male bastion again, because typically the law requires you to be in court from 10 to 4 and thereafter you work with your clients, briefing a senior, etc. So it is a difficult path for, especially for women, but that is because of the very nature of the job itself. However, if I comment upon the other women who are into corporate sectors, one of the important legislative development which took place was 6 months leave, maternity leave, and another one was provision of creche, which has really picked up. So there's been a lot of, you know, in last couple of years, there's been sort of advisory, lot of from the clarification from Ministry of Labour and Ministry of Women and Child Welfare. These are small issues, but these are very vital to bring, to make the one is creating opportunity, another is enabling women to be able to take advantage of those opportunities. So I look at these particular developments. You have to have creche at the workplace. It is so vital, because otherwise you are not creating any choices for women who want to, either you make a choice between being a mother or having a family or being a have a career, which is something that a woman should not face. Because let us also agree on one point, that look, women are a good workforce. Women are a cheap workforce, equal talking about the equality of payment. So the economy cannot progress, country cannot progress by dispensing with women. So that is in fact the economic reality, that you have to have women in your fold. And from that perspective, madam also spoke about legislations and spoke about the legislation that these are the enabling conditions. But there are these vital little gaps which requires to be filled in order for women like me and you to effectively get what we deserve.
So what are those gaps quickly, if you could mention?
See, one, of course, see, for example, I feel very strongly about sexual harassment at workplace. Now, that's been one of the areas where we have the law. It is being implemented. There's a lot of, like, officers are coming after organizations.
Of course. No, I take your point well. We'll come to that comprehensively in a minute. Before that, I'll just bring in Sangeeta, because I want to understand from Sangeeta that, you know, it's interesting that the Indian Air Force, they have opened up all fields to women, isn't it? Even the fighter pilots.
You have fighter pilots now, and Air Force has fighter pilots, helicopter pilots you always had, and Navy also has everybody in all ladies in all fields. So you have them even in the PHIs, which are the transport aircrafts Navy is flying. But you know, it's a little different to what you were discussing now. When it comes to pay parity, there's no difference in the forces, because you get, there's a routine, you get paid according to the laws of the land.
Yeah, I guess, and that has something to do with the nature of the job itself, because in the government and the private sector, that distinction and discrimination will always be there. About the Navy, I wanted to just bring to your notice, and you can comment further on it. Right now, if I'm correct, all non-seagoing branches of the Navy are open for women if they enter through the short service commission.
Yes.
And one has also heard that the Indian Navy is building ships where they're actually training women to go for seagoing branches.
Yeah, so that means permanent commission. And Navy is actually has been ahead of the other forces when it comes to women empowerment. You know, they were the ones who initially had engineers, and they were the ones who had women, you know, in their this thing. The first commissions came from the Navy. So, you know, you do have, Navy has been active and smallest force, but then an active force. When you see in the actual per se women in the defense forces, you realize that they are there, there's still going to be some time to fill the gap which exists. There's still going to be some time when you find them, you know, when you find them in the army especially, when we find them neck to neck, you know, with fighting with the forces, with their men folk, the men who are there, you know, the fellow officers. And I think it'll take some time, but I'm sure it should come. And not only that, you know, when we continue the discussion, you have women, you'll find it very surprising that the complete scientist category and the aerospace category is full of women in every inch of it. You'll find DRDO has women, the best scientists. You'll find HAL, which makes planes, has women. You'll find ISRO has women. HAL's finance director is also a woman, by the way.
And so many banks are now being headed by women.
Yeah, so I mean, defense is one sector where you are finding women, both the armed defense as well as the other.
We are an all-women's panel today, although I would have liked to have some males represented here. See, it's ironical that in a woman-centric discussion, why should, you know, there always be women talking about women? That's also a very important debate, isn't it, Sunita? Mm-hmm. Coming back to your very moot point, which you just flagged a while ago, of course, there is no doubt, Sangeeta, as you said, that women are extremely capable, and if given equal opportunity, they have proved to be better than men in various fields. You just mentioned very critical strategic sectors like defense, science, aerospace, it's amazing. You know, missiles also.
Yes.
So many women are behind missile production in this country. But it is ironical that women continue to be at the receiving end of the gender matrix. You spoke about the sexual harassment at workplace. Across sectors, not just journalists, we just had the Me Too movement explode in India in October 2018. It all started with, in fact, if I'm correct, started with a journalist naming a very senior minister of the government at that time. And we all know that the minister is now facing a court and she has been slapped with a defamation case. So you see, laws will be there. But what about the implementation? You're a lawyer. You deal with sexual harassment cases all the time. And there are gaps and gaps and gaps which employers exploit, you know, which these perpetrators of sexual violence exploit.
The point here is the law can only achieve this much, beyond which it is a society which has to move forward and embrace the change. That is with respect to sexual harassment at workplace, it's a power-based crime. Another, it is so deeply rooted in the manner in which the gender constructs have evolved over a period of time. So therefore, the law itself cannot knock it off in one day. So we have to work with the mental constructs, and that is why even within the law, there is a lot of stress on sensitization rather than punishing. Coming back to what Madam was talking about, presence of women, and in fact, I genuinely feel that more and more women are present in various fields. Their presence itself is going to bring about a positive change. That is A. B, we talk about having women at the workplace. How will women come at the workplace if they have to play this role of a superwoman at home as well as work? So therefore, we have to take a step back and start looking at distribution of gender roles within the houses. Therefore, a woman does not have to. A lot of women I come across, they will say, oh, I want to be a stay at home by choice. However, the question is, does she have a choice to make that kind of a choice, right? Is it or not? Because you have taken up the entire burden upon yourself. So therefore, there has to be, the thinking has to evolve, a change for a woman to be able to take both the role at the home and also at the workplace. Similarly, men will also have to be sort of, you know, balancing with respect to the taking care of children as well as with respect to, you know, they also have to moderate their ambitions in order to make sure that the wife also has the similar sort of a goal. So, as I said, the law can only go this much. Beyond this, the society has to, we have to move forward.
Excellent point, Sunita, because what you are essentially saying is that in a gendered society, males and females will mutually, you know, exist, they will coexist, they will reverse roles, there will be a metrosexual male, there will be a superwoman, you know, everybody will coexist. But that's the ultimate utopian goal, you know, of a gendered society. Of course, every society evolves and the urge of every society is to move towards that. But coming back to the realities of our times, you know, we are still talking of urban settings. Sangeeta, you know, where you and I can sit here, discuss our problems, seek redressals, but we are a huge country. There are issues around lack of privilege. There are Dalit women, you know, who've always been at the worst receiving end of every crime. There are caste matrices to every crime, and we can't ignore the fact that that still remains the reality. We've had endless debates about how patriarchal, I don't want to generalize, but that's the general perception and opinion. There are mindsets mindset issues in the police system. There are mindset issues in the justice system. And we know that all kinds of orientation courses go on for even judicial officers, for police officers, that, you know, you start appreciating a woman's point of view. Sunita knows, she's a lawyer, that how much time did it take for the fact that the issue of consent, court after court ruled on the fact that you, when a woman says no, it means no, that the consent of the woman is sacrosanct. What do you have to say on these mindset issues? Because she's just said society has a big role, but where are we as a society?
One thing is very, very prominent in all this, especially in our country, that, you know, there is a mindset which is coming down the generations. The mothers don't change it for their sons. And if they don't change it for their sons, nothing changes, you know, in the generation ahead, except for probably the lifestyle of the family. When we talk of women in that level of society, we expect them to get appreciation nowhere, you know, at that level. You know, let's forget that level where you don't expect, even at a senior level, even for us, you know, we are journalists. And I'll tell you, to be in a male bastion, it means you're really fighting it out, because nobody wants to believe you have the brains to understand technology. You have the brains to understand defense. A man could be lesser than you, but then he gets the privilege of the story. He gets the privilege of the information because he's a man and, you know, he's there. That you feel everywhere in every strata of society. But the truth remains that the lower strata of society, which is unfortunately very sad, because you find, you know, these are the women who are working the maximum. And we're doing nothing for their empowerment, because, you know, I have seen the way police, I come from a small town in UP, Rampur, and I have seen the way it functions. The mindset of the women themselves there is very bad. Forget the mindset of the men. You know, the women are also talking about, you know, oh, she's a woman, she can't do it. Okay. That's not her capability. We need to change that. We need to change that. I think only education should be able to change that, and also more than that, you know, if we have to first change the family setup, the mindset of the families, that if your son can do well, so can your daughter-in-law.
In fact, I'm reminded through Sangeeta's intervention of a very important point which Prime Minister Narendra Modi made in one of his speeches, Independence Day speeches from the Red Fort. In fact, he did appeal to the parents that you start changing your mindset. He was speaking in context of the rising sexual crimes against women and against children also. Why forget children? I mean, children are at the receiving end too. Crimes are increasing by the day. You know, Sunita, it's almost as if the more laws you have, the more grave the crime becomes. I mean, it's almost as if the society has no fear of the law. And obviously, there's something really wrong with the way our society functions, with the way our mindsets are. Because look at cases after cases, look at the brutality of the Nirbhaya rape, look at the number of cases of sexual abuse on children by people in positions of authority, even by fathers, even by brothers. Incest is increasing. There is a 2007 study of the Women and Child Development Ministry which says in so many words that half the cases of sexual abuse on women are by family members, of children are by family members. So what do you have to say on that?
As I said, according to me, the solution lies in having more and more women. And when I look at the legal field, if you look at the number of women who have been appointed as judges in past 3 years, it's maximum. We have women appointed ASG. Now, you know, these are, for example, I have an ASG who I see every day in High Court. You know, people that you can look up and you can, you know that you can do it. So that way, you know, that this very appointment itself, either that goes on to make that great deal. We have women, for example, having a woman as a defense minister. Now, that is something, you know, defense is something which is considered as macho, something which will be considered. And you have, for that matter, external affairs ministry. So, the very fact that there are these women and who are handling this important portfolio, there is this woman who is sitting as a judge of the Supreme Court. Not, we have two now at the moment. And we have at least 5 in Delhi High Court. So, the sheer increase in number has been, like, for as a young woman lawyer, I look at it as, wow, this is a boom as far as the legal field is concerned. And in fact, many other fields. So having these symbols who girls like me, you, in villages and from everywhere, they can look up and they know that, yes, I can also become that. That is something that will take this whole development to a different level altogether.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm reminded here, I have to mention this. The fact that we've had a boom of women sportspersons for bringing laurels to the country. Yes. It started with the Olympics, where, you know, women get medals all the time. I mean, we were actually discussing where have all the males gone. And now coming back to women and coming back to that whole discourse around the fact of privilege. We've had women athletes who have shown on international platforms despite coming from humble backgrounds. You have Hima Das from Assam, you have Swapna Barman. These are women from very mediocre households, in fact poor households. You have this wonderfully inspiring story that was told of the Fogat sisters of Haryana through that wonderful film Dangal. You know, Dangal became a huge hit even in China. Let's not underestimate the importance of multimedia. If films start getting made on these subjects, that will have a great impact in changing mindsets, because this is the age of visual media, this is the age of social media, communications, media has a great role to play. What do you say on this? You're a journalist.
What I feel, Aditi, is that basically, you know, when you are sitting in a big city, you realize that these things are very common and, you know, are done. But the fact that when you go 100 kilometers beyond Delhi, you will realize that nothing, no such thing happens. People coming to tell the girls in the schools that this is what you can do. There's no such thing as career counseling for the girls. There's only a career path for boys. 99%, you know, girls do what they want to do on their own. They get, you know, now you have, today's generation is much better off than what we were. So you have the internet which gives you everything. So you do understand that there could be careers for women. And I feel it requires more people to talk to the, go beyond Delhi, Bombay, Calcutta, Bangalore, Madras. And then you realize that you need more people to talk to these girls.
Correct.
But somebody has to, you know, I think what I feel is this can be done only by the local MLAs, MPs. They can chalk out such plans where, you know, the women of their constituencies, the girls of their constituencies, you know, get some advice. Because if you don't create a platform for them, how do I tell girls, small places in UP, that come out, girls like you can become journalists?
No, I agree with you. But in fact, we do have model parents, Sunita. Mm-hmm. We have this story, as I said, portrayed in Dangal of this man from Haryana. You know, Haryana is the ultimate example of stereotypes against women. Women. The lowest child sex ratio, infanticide, female feticide, you know, you name it and Haryana has it. But the story of inspiration also arises from a Haryana village. You have this father who trains a daughter in wrestling and she brings laurels for the country. So there are all kinds of examples. I think it's mostly about parenting. Mostly about parenting, and a big role can be played by politicians, as you just mentioned, MLAs, because they are the role models for people who have elected them. For instance, if a prime minister of the country is making a pitch for Swachhata, Swachhata becomes a political priority. Otherwise, it's some sidey thing every government talks about. When, you know, Mahatma Gandhi spoke about Swachhata, it became a big thing. Yeah. So it's about how much value addition you can do to a particular issue, how much political priority can you attach to an issue. But I believe, Sunita, this particular government at least, if we look at recent interventions, some of them you mentioned, some I'll add. The maternity leave you mentioned, 12 weeks to 26 weeks.
Yes.
A big shift.
Big shift.
Secondly, another big shift was that if a child's passport is to be made, the mother's name suffices. So earlier that was not the case.
Correct.
Then you have this whole legislative framework around NRI grooms who have been betraying and deserting Indian women. So now you have 40 passports impounded. So you see, there is a major push, and that is a big thing. And to sustain that push, I think we have to finally end it with a women's reservation bill. Are you game for it?
Yes, absolutely.
So talk about it.
Women's reservation bill, yes. Now that, as we mentioned, we have named so many women from different fields, and women have shown their caliber. And it is important. And we have two ministers now who are doing their job wonderful. They are bringing laurels to the country, whether it's in such difficult circumstances. Now it calls for having more women in the parliament, and just having more women, their presence, their voices, their sensitivities, that itself is going to be a catalyst for a newer India.
So Sangeeta, some more comment on this, because we are only 11% women in parliament today.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we really need this government to now wrap up and tell us before the elections if we've done it.
And if this is the only government who can do it, they're the only ones who will be able to do it.
Because if they can't do it, then you cannot get anybody else who comes. Even 12 other people come together, you might have your problems. But when once somebody has that short majority, you can do it. And women need to be there in decision making. They're in the decision making of the household. Even in the, you know, remotest of areas of the country, the mother is an important figure. Her decisions are there. They might not be followed upon, but then she has the right to speak. And we need a woman to lead women also. And we need women in the parliament in any case. We need reservation at all levels for women. It'll help the complete women fraternity to grow. Once it's grown, it's become... And mind it, I think after all the travels I've done, I've realized that we are much better than the so-called big nations when it comes to getting franchise rights and, you know, a lot of rights India's got before even US got.
Correct, we got the adult franchise much before then.
Absolutely. And even the female, franchise, which, so we've got universal. Lot of things, universal, you know, there are things which
But it's
getting.
Sad that the government's term is almost coming to an end now and we are staring at the 17th general election, but we can always hope whichever government comes will bring in this bill. Because the Congress has already committed support. UPA chairperson Sonia Gandhi had long back said her party is all for the bill, but the socialist parties, you know, the JDU, the other parties, SP, BSP, they'll have to be brought on board. But that apart, I'll be failing in my duty if I don't bring up one last very important topic of financial autonomy. Money bags play a big role, and women do struggle to get finances, to get equal pay for the same amount of work. So I want to ask you, Sunita, where does India stand on inheritance and property rights, considering we have a complex personal laws structure in the country?
As far as law is concerned, a lot of changes have been brought in to make women, that's I'm talking about the Hindu Koparshni rights, the women stand on equal footing with respect to men. With respect to the maintenance and the property rights. So property rights was another bill, I think that is also pending at some point of time, creating, giving equal rights to women in the property. And we have, over a period of time, we have been talking about maintenance and alimony, which has this element of being condescending. Now when we talk about equality in truest sense, so therefore there has to be equality in terms of equal division of matrimonial property, so that the woman, if she wants to work out, she works out with a sense of dignity rather than seeking it as a favor from the husband. That is one area which requires a very comprehensive legislation which should cover everybody.
So I think the debate on the Uniform Civil Code is on, and maybe someday there will be consensus in society, politically and otherwise, to actually bring it. Sangeeta, your quick last thoughts on the program.
Well, I feel, you know, women need empowerment. We've come to a certain stage, but we still need women to get more empowered in the social circle setup also, and very majorly in the professional setups. We need to work on it. We need to think on it. Companies need to think on it. There should be some legal provisions that, you know, if you there's a man and a woman and both do the same amount of work, then there should be given. Otherwise, there should be some punitive measures. The day you put punitive measures, probably equality would be there, because equality is required when it comes to women working in the field. And I feel we have to end up somewhere where, you know, most of the countries don't have it. But we can't say that most of the countries don't have it, so why should we have it? We should have it, because we've got people, women working all the time. And I think, you know, it's not only for any certain level, it's for everybody over the board. You can be in the best of corporates, you can be the best of journalists. We all know where we stand when it comes to, you know, the HR department and the financial policies. So I think the suggestion would always be that women, and as and when the young girls come up, I think it's just the right time to tell them that you have actually the sky above you, the horizon ahead of you, but and you're going to be equal to the brother in the family or equal to your husband in the home, you know.
So Sunita, any legislative measure that you think is urgent?
I think this, yes, as far as the financial and rights are concerned, the economic rights to women, I think that we need a comprehensive legislation to ensure equal rights for women in the domestic sphere, in the financial sphere.
So both in the organized and the unorganized sector, there's a whole range of women who are neglected. Let's not forget our domestic workers, you know, who make it possible for us women to actually go to our workplaces.
Absolutely.
So we need to pay a tribute to those nameless, voiceless domestic workers who are still waiting for their law, and hopefully someday it will come. Unity is important, and I'd end with this small quote: women of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but chains and the whole world to gain. So thank you for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on women empowerment. The participants were Sangeeta Saxena, social scientist, Sunita Ojha, women activist, and Aditi Tandon, journalist, who initiated and moderated the discussion. This program is produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can also listen to this program on our website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdaytalks@gmail.com.